Up. All right, let's see, let's roll. I have to admit, I know quite a bit about the organization that the Humblestons are part of. My best friend from college, Nathan, is a recruiter for Pioneer Bible Translators. His wife is that best friend and Jennifer has been doing their newsletter for the last 10 years or so. So this place is near and dear to my heart. I was ecstatic when we decided to take them on, because I know the work that is going on there. I know the value of the work and the life transformation that is happening because of this organization and organizations like it. I've personally supported Nathan with monthly support for over 10 years. And I've never been sorry one day about that. So jump in. If you have a relationship with the Humblestons, just jump in and support them. They need our help, and they are doing amazing, amazing work. And I was amazed at how God worked all this out. The series we are in, the series through the book of Romans, is titled Unashamed. The Humblestons family are living this out. They are unashamed. Unashamed of the gospel. Unashamed to boldly ask God's people for financial support. Unashamed to pray for big things to advance God's kingdom. Jeremy and Jennifer, you guys are my heroes. So we want to thank them for coming. I'm going to speak very quickly about a couple things from today's passage, Romans 5, 1 through 11. Let's read it quickly together. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege. Where we now stand, we are confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. And this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's judgment. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by His life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. All I want to talk about today is this term that we've been looking at lately, justification. We had three big words that we were going to talk about. The first one was justification. The last 2 weeks, we've talked about this idea of justification and what that means. And we talked about how we are justified through Christ alone, right? And so what we're going to talk about today is the five blessings that happen in your life because of justification, because we have received this justification. First one, we have peace. There was a time when we were enemies, verse 10 says. But now in Christ, we have peace with God. Peace with God means that our problem with sin has been settled by the blood of Christ. God is our Father, not our judge. Number two blessing. We have access to God. It says in verse 2, Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So the idea here is that before our salvation, we stood with Adam and we were condemned. But now in Christ, we have perfect standing before God and can enter into his presence. We have access to God the Father. We have access to God's throne room, which is great news for us, because we don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through some sort of mediator. We can confidently access God's throne just by turning to him and crying out to him. That is because of we have been justified through Jesus. Okay? Number three, we have hope. Literally, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 12 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Don't forget, you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called the uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises that God has made you. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Note that the unsaved person is without hope. We cannot boast in good works that bring salvation, but we can boast in the wonderful salvation God has given us through Christ. We have hope because of Jesus' justification. Number four, I'm taking through this quick. We have confidence. James 1:3 says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 6 says, "We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord." So we boast in testings also. The true Christian not only has a hope for the future, but has confidence in the present trials of life. The formula looks like this: testing plus Christ equals patience. Patience plus Christ equals character or experience. Experience plus Christ equals hope. Note that we do not glory over trials or about trials, but in trials. That God gives us the strength to endure trials. God gives us the ability to walk through fire, if you will, because we have been justified with him, and his Spirit now lives within us. And God's Spirit never lets us down and never fails us. It is God's Spirit. And because we have God's Spirit within us, we can stand up to things that we should not be able to stand up to. And some of you guys have endured a lot in your life. And you have endured lots of fire and lots of trials, and somehow you're still here. You're still standing. You may be battered, you may be bruised, but your faith has not let you down. And it's because of this Holy Spirit that is within you that God gives you endurance. He develops character, and that leads way and to being able to persevere. 5. We experience the love of God, verses 5 through 11. Philippians 3:10 through 11 says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. The Spirit within sheds God's love to us and through us. God revealed his love at the cross when Christ died for those who were without strength, who were ungodly, who were sinners and enemies, thus proving his great love. Paul's argument is this: if God did all that for us while we were his enemies, how much more will he do for us now that we are considered his children? We are saved by Christ's death, but we are also saved by his life, as the power of his resurrection operates in our lives. We have received reconciliation, and now the love of God is experienced in our lives. We have the ability now. We have the ability to experience on a daily basis God's love. His love for us, his care for us. And when we go through tests, when we go through trials, when we go through things in life that seem unfair, because lots of times life is unfair. When we go through all these things, we have the ability to be comforted and loved by the one that created us. And he understands. He understands exactly what you are going through, because Jesus came to earth and he suffered it all. Every way possible, he felt the things that we feel. Unjustly accused, he was. It was unfair, it wasn't right, but Jesus went willingly so that we could be right with him. That's the message of the gospel. The power of his resurrection is that God raised him from the dead. If I've said this before, if Jesus just died on a cross, that's a really sad story. But the fact of the matter is, 3 days later, the tomb was empty. Because the power of God, the resurrection power that he possesses, raised him from the dead. We have power when we walk in Jesus. We have power in our lives, and sometimes we live lives that are too small. We don't trust that God has a plan for us. We don't trust that God's power is coursing through us, and that we walk in faith. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in truth. Our friends are walking in faith and truth. They're walking in the Spirit, and it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy to pack up your whole family and move to Dallas on nothing but support, like nothing but promised giving. But when you love Jesus, you step boldly in faith, and when you step out boldly in faith, he catches you every time. I believe that. I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't believe that. Our God is a God of many, many things. But our God is a God most. He is our Father. And how much he wants his children to be blessed. And I think lots of times in this world we get this idea of blessing that it's like, oh, I'm going to get a bunch of money because I'm blessed. No, I think what it really means is that you've learned to find joy in life. And even when times are tough, you're allowed joy. That God says, let's find the joy in this. And my friends, that's what we're all striving for. We are striving for peace and joy and hope and living in the daily presence of God. And if we do those things, you are blessed. And your life will be blessed. And you will be a blessing to other people. which is really what it's all about, right? Jesus, we love you and we thank you for a good day. We thank you for the stories of missionaries that are stepping out in faith and trusting you. Father, may they inspire us to step out in faith. May they inspire us to trust you a little bit more. And Father, we pray that you would bless them. Bless them as they go. We pray that you will come up with the support that is needed at just the right time. And maybe a little bit in advance. That would be nice. We love you and we thank you for your kingdom and the fact that it is big. And we pray for the 180 or 147 million people that don't have access to God's word. We pray that you would be working in their hearts and their lives so that when people come to give them the word, they will receive it. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. If you have a decision to make today, if you need to be baptized, we invite you to come forward. If you need prayer, you want some of our elders to pray with you, we would love to pray with you. If you need help, we pray that you would just seek one of us out and talk to us. Our desire is that this be a place not for healthy people, because that's always a sham anyway, isn't it? But that instead that people who are sick, people that need a doctor, would come find the physician that really is above all, and that's God. So if you have a decision to make, we invite you to come forward or find one of us later, and we'd love to talk to you.